Columbus.
Welcome to the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper.
Put it in the upper right-hand corner, just like a postage stamp. That's a good bingo!
Get ready to learn more about the Columbus Blue Jackets players and coaches, as well as find out what's going on this week in the NHL. Now let's join Bob McGilligan and Jody Shelley for the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank.
Last night, the Blue Jackets taking on the Carolina Hurricanes at Nationwide Arena. First game of a home-and-home series, as a matter of fact, because we are in Raleigh, North Carolina, getting ready for tomorrow night's completion of this series. And Jody Shelley, last night, the Blue Jackets, well, they didn't have it early. They kind of got it back at one point, fell behind 2-0, got back to a 2-2 tie, but ultimately lost that game 5-2 with an empty netter at the very end to put the exclamation point on it for the Carolina Hurricanes. Look, it's been a tough stretch for the Blue Jackets. That's four straight losses now. Only one of those games they managed to get a point, and that was that Boston game on Sunday. It sure does feel like the old Henny Penny, the sky is falling for this team right now. I know you always preach about it's 82 games. You're not at 82. You're not eliminated yet. In fact, even as the Blue Jackets lost that game, everybody else lost. They're still in a playoff position as of today and all that stuff. But in addition to just the struggles on the ice, it seems like now there's a guy that gets hurt every game that they play. And I think they call that adding insult to injury, don't they? Or actually, this time it would be adding injury to insult.
Yeah, you know, that's a tough part about this. The good news is, yeah, they're still in a playoff spot. It's been a tough week for the Blue Jackets. So, you know, last week at this time, they were in the second spot in the Metropolitan Division by 2 points. And then, you know, it's been that they go back to the weekend losing against San Jose. And then that game against the Bruins, boy, that was tough. That's tough on a team. Plus the injuries that come out of that weekend with Severson against the Sharks and then Olivier versus the Boston Bruins. That's insult to injury. But, you know, you got to look at how this team, one of the hottest teams in the league, got to where they're at. Still in the playoff position. This has been a tough week, a daunting week when you look at the Carolina Hurricanes after the Boston Bruins, and you had them down and out. Is that the season? No. There's 7 games left, 14 points. They have to get to 95, 96 points the way these other teams are losing as well. Do you have to let the Penguins go? No, I think you can still track them down. But yeah, I mean, I feel it though. I feel what the fans are feeling because, you know, this team was riding so high and you look to, if they win that game against Boston and San Jose, now they have some breathing room, but they didn't. So now it's intense and tight. And with the injuries, it's going to be a challenge for the coaching staff and this team to figure it out. I think they do. I think they'll figure it out. I think that, you know, when you look at the playoffs, right? So let's go ahead a little bit. So the Blue Jackets, if they make the playoffs, the excitement, right? Playoffs have started. Spring is here. Game one is in, let's say it's here in Carolina. You get down to Raleigh, the fans, you lose game one. Well, you know what you feel like? You feel like exactly like you feel right now. All the fans, us sitting here doing this radio show, this is what you feel like. Okay. So how do you respond tomorrow? And I like that this is a home and home with Carolina because if you're in a 7-game series and this is game one and two and this is game two on the road, you got to win it. You got to split in the first two games on the road to drag it back to your building. And if you don't win it, you still will live to fight another day, and that's two home games back in your building. So for me, you have to get that mindset in this scenario. You have to look at this stretch that they've just had of losses, and you have to forget about it and just go this week, home and home. You lost to Carolina. There were some great battles in that game. I was watching Charlie Coyle and Aho on the dot. They were ruthless with each other because that was a real, probably one of the best face-off battles I've seen in a long time. And Dorinsky, Aho were, you know, they got into a little collision early and Aho did slew foot him. I know Zach talked about it, yesterday on a radio show, or that was today on the radio show where, you know, yeah, and Zach's a guy that he'll tell you what he thinks. And he got, it was a dirty play on him. So now the storylines are there. Now they're going to face each other again. Now the Carolina Hurricanes know that the Blue Jackets are upset at the last loss at home. So the Blue Jackets are coming in to give it to them. So put yourself in a seven-game series now with seven games left in the regular season, but this is game one and two of the first round of the playoffs, and remember, this is what you're going to feel like after the first game loss.
And by the way, this could be a playoff matchup as 100%. We talk right now.
Mm-hmm. It could be. It could be Buffalo. Could be Pittsburgh. Like this could go a number of ways, but just that's the mindset, because you got to remember what it feels like after one game loss in the playoffs.
Yeah. Listen, we talk about the injuries, and that's changed so much of the lineup, but there's another reason the lineup has changed, and I'm not hanging this on one guy, but the guy I want to ask you about, I know you talk to a lot about his game and his perspective and all that stuff, and that's Kent Johnson, because Kent Johnson continues to struggle. He was out of the lineup until last night. He got put back in. Look, when Connor Garland first got acquired from Vancouver and he was playing with Kent Johnson and Sean Monahan, the second line all of a sudden came to life, right? And that was a line that Rick Bonus had said prior to the trade deadline, we got to figure out how to make that line go. And they did for a couple of games. And then it disappears, and Kent Johnson finds himself on the fourth line, and he finds himself out of the playoffs. What happens is when his game goes away, even when he goes to the fourth line, to me, he now messes up two lines, because now that second line is struggling again and you're trying to find somebody. And now the fourth line, which for so long was Lundestrom, Jenner, and Heinen, and it was clicking and they could just roll it. Now that line's got to change too. What do you think is going on this year with Kent Johnson? And, you know, ups and downs are one thing, but we're talking peaks and valleys here.
It's playoff hockey right now, and he's got to play in that second line. I mean, the third and fourth line need to have the identities of changing momentum, kind of playing that Boone Jenner style of hockey, you know, and I think the second line definitely has dipped. And for me, Garland had a great start here, but he's getting pushed off pucks below the goal line now more frequently. The book's out on him with these Eastern Conference teams. I think they're figuring out how to play him. So he needs time and space. He needs to create it. I look at Monahan. I like Monahan's game a lot. I always like how he plays, but they're fighting it right now. All three of those guys in that line are fighting it. I think they're thinking too much offense, and that's what we're measuring them on. And that's what we expect in a top six role. But for Kent Johnson specifically, the game he wants to play is the open ice game, but he hasn't been able to hold on to pucks. He's trying to do too much with pucks when he gets them. He's not worried about the 3 feet in front of him. Instead of he's worried about everything else on the ice, where he's got to start with the 3 feet in front of him, not worry about the next play, because the next play might be gone if he doesn't have the puck. And so, you know, the lack of strength and size, what was that last year? He got sent to the minors to work on that, for 10 games. Remember, there was times when they weren't playing him because he was working out. He just seemed to has dipped in the battles, and that's got to be, he's got to take note of Marchenko, and how Marchenko, if he doesn't have the puck, he's going to hound you to get it back. And right now, Kent Johnson's on the outside of battles and outside of plays.
He is. And as you said, I mean, with his talent.
You can't play on the fourth line.
No, but they need that. They need somebody.
They need him on the second line to play.
Yeah, and to play. But I think that's the key, right? But to play, not to just be there.
It's imperative he holds on to pucks. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's the second line has got to be a line that can get the puck and hold on to it and make plays and be a threat, because your top line is being focused on by the opposition, by the top D and the top defensive forwards. So you might play against their best line. And if you do, you've got to level it and keep even with them or outplay them. And then when you play against lesser lines, you should dominate. And you're playing against a different pair, and then sometimes a second or third pair of D. So, you know, there's an advantage there, but it's got to be a critical line to have more punch than it has right now.
Well, earlier today, I got a chance to talk to one of the guys that we were talking about, and that is Danton Heinen, who comes in here from Pittsburgh in a trade. Actually, when he got traded, he went to the American Hockey League, gets the quick promotion. He's found himself in and out of the lineup, but right now he's been one of the guys that Rick Bonus has leaned on in different roles ever since Rick has arrived here as the head coach. And I'm going to talk to Danton Heinen about all of that and get the player's perspective from what we were just talking about, how Jody was talking about the fans. You go crazy because you lose these games and it looks like you're out of it. What do the players think when they play the game. They lose the game, and they know what else is going on around them. Danton Heinen will tell you that as the Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank continues here on 97.1 The Fan.
Head to 971thefan.com to listen on demand and subscribe to all our podcasts. Wasting time has never been easier. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
It's Timmy Hall.
There was a man who couldn't stand.
A mom who couldn't wait.
A scientific community that said it couldn't be done.
And then you.
And then I.
And then we. Brought neuromuscular disease into screaming color with the Muscular Dystrophy Association.
For 75 years, our voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
We've willed the impossible into existence.
We've pushed the science,
raised the funds,
shifted the narrative,
and transformed the reality of life with neuromuscular diseases.
For 75 years, we've built communities together,
established the field of neuromuscular medicine,
and made it thrive.
Call that a legacy.
Call it impact.
Call it momentum.
Just call it ours.
Because it's the generations of community heroes that give MDA the strength we have today.
And until neuromuscular disease is a thing of the past, you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Looking, remember the old days when football used to have an off-season? Well, we at The Fan think that really sucked. That's why we bring you Austin and Berm, America's number one resource for Buckeye football conversation, is voted by Fake Surveys Incorporated. Catch their daily podcast called The Beat and their breaking news podcast, Snap Judgments, as they broadcast live from Roosters on Mondays, and they come right to your house and massage your tender areas. They'll do it all. Austin and Berm on The Fan's YouTube channel and 10TV Plus.
Let's talk.
Think you know Buckeye football? These two say, hold my beer. The Beat with Austin and Berm.
Sponsored by The Waterworks.
Daily on The Fan's YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Now, Thursday is looking like a drier day overall across central Ohio. We'll see some sunshine and warmer with highs nearing 80 degrees and about a 20% chance of an afternoon rain shower or a thunderstorm. On Friday, the chance of precip goes up to 60% in the afternoon with some rain or a couple of thunderstorms and highs nearing 80 and about 80 degrees on Saturday. That is your 97.1 The Fan weather forecast. I'm 10 Weather Impact Chief Meteorologist Chris Tomer.
Can't get enough Blue Jackets conversation?
Good news.
It's Hockey O'Clock.
It's the Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Welcome back to the Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank. I'm Bob McGilligan. With me right now is Blue Jackets forward Danton Heinen. And Danton, let's just start with where you are. Last night was such a tough game for you guys. I mean, you're down 2-0 with a couple of power play goals against in the first period, rally and tie the game, and then Carolina is able to take the lead and eventually win the game. But that being said, everything else goes your way with all the other games that were being played. So on one hand, you can feel like, doggone it, we blew an opportunity to get some points and move a spot. But on the other hand, look, you're in the very same place, and right now you guys are struggling to find your game once again. So it's the best of a bad situation. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, it's this time of year you got to have a short memory. And, you know, like you said, we got some help, and we're kind of in that same position. So, yeah, I think you got to, you know, kind of forget about it, new day, and move on and try to get better.
You're one of the guys that you've been in the league for a while. You've been with different organizations. You've seen how this works. You've gone through it. Some of these guys, some of your teammates haven't gone through it, this kind of pressure. What is the pressure like at this time of the season when you're fighting to do what you guys are doing, which is hold on to a spot right now?
Yeah, you know, I think this time of year is tight, and, you know, every play is important. And I think, you know, everybody in that room puts enough pressure on themselves day in, day out that, you know, I don't think you got to put any more pressure on yourself. I think you try to enjoy these moments, and, you know, we're lucky to, you know, be in it, be in the hunt, and control our own destiny. So, you know, I've got, you know, the utmost faith in that group.
When you talk about enjoy the moment, sometimes it's got to be hard to enjoy, right? Because you're disappointed. But, again, having that experience of knowing that what happened yesterday does not define what's going to happen
tomorrow, or, you know, it doesn't mean you're out of the playoffs because you lost that one game, right? Do you guys talk about that in the room? Do you talk about that at all with the guys that haven't gone through this before?
Yeah, I think so. I think guys, like, even after this game, you know, we're saying, let's just worry about tomorrow, worry about the next day, and, you know, not hang your heads, because that's just going to be a waste of energy. You know, obviously it stings when you don't get the wins you want, but that's it's not going to do any good to sulk. You got to, you know, see what you did good, see what you did bad. We got the same team again, so you know, learn some things, and you know, just look forward.
You guys have been relatively healthy for a long time, and that's changed in the last couple of games. And for so long, you were set. I mean, here are the four lines. We're going to roll the four lines. Everybody's playing well. When guys start to drop out of the lineup, and when roles change and personnel changes, can it be difficult after you were set for so long like you guys were?
Yeah, I don't know. I think, I mean, you hate to see guys go down. You look at that, and yeah, you feel for those guys, but I think it's just kind of next man up, and everybody tries to, I guess, you know, step up where you can, and it's the nature of the beast. So, you know, this league, there's going to be injuries and different times, and you don't have a crystal ball, and you can't, you know, it doesn't always work out how you want to. So I think you have to, you know, learn to adapt, and you know, everybody kind of, you know, that's the thing about our team. We got a deep group, and everybody can kind of step up and pull on the rope.
When you talk about that depth, and we did talk about it a lot when you were playing with Boone Jenner and Isaac Lundstrom on what can be deemed the fourth line, if you want to call it that. But you guys, that depth gave you the opportunity, like I said, just to roll lines all the time, as you guys were. And just to, you know, put it into perspective now, the only guy that's left on that line at the moment, as of last night, is Isaac Lundstrom, because Boone has moved to a different line. You have stepped up and trying to fill that gap left by Matthew Olivier. So, that's why I was asking that, because there's that depth. The depth takes a different form when you have to do that, right?
Yeah, for sure. But I think, you know, you got to look at it as an opportunity too, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, you want to be in those positions where, hey, you're in those minutes, or you're getting more minutes, and you gotta play a role that's gonna help the team, whether it's, you know, whether it's a fourth line role, or whether it's, you know, trying to play against other top lines. You wanna take pride in that. You wanna be in those positions. So obviously there's you wanna be healthy, but I think, you know, you want to get excited about different opportunities.
Talking with Danton Heinen of the Blue Jackets, you started the year with Pittsburgh and got traded to the Blue Jackets in that trade for Igor Chinnikov going back the other way. Went to Cleveland, played a game, and then there was opportunity for you here, and you've been here ever since. But you've been in and out of the lineup. But it's funny, Rick Bonus comes in and he takes over, and you're kind of on the outside waiting for a turn. And when you got a turn, you just jumped in and took it. And I know you may have been out a game or two ever since then, but for the most part, you're in there day in and day out. You know, what was your mindset like when you're sitting and waiting, and then you get that chance? Because I sometimes it just seems like some guys, you want to see them grab it. And you want to see them, but then again, sometimes if you don't have a good game, then it's that one opportunity, and you're out again. But again, mm-hmm. you've been around, you've been with different organizations, you faced it before. But what was your mindset when Rick Bonus gave you that chance to get back into the lineup?
Yeah, I think, you know, I kind of, like you said, I've been through those situations before, and you know, maybe in the past haven't grabbed them, or haven't, you know, maybe it hasn't worked out. Like I said, it doesn't always work out how you want, but. I think in my mind, it's just like, I was grateful to be here. You know, the way the kind of start of the year went, and everything is, you know, ups and downs. And I mean, that's life, that's hockey. But I think I just tried to look at it as I was grateful to be here, and grateful for the opportunity, and just, you know, not try to overthink it too much, and just go out and play and have fun. And, you know, you never know how long you got to play this game. You never know where you're going to be, you know, what opportunities you have. So just try to look at it as a positive, and you know, I was grateful to be here, and you know, it's a great group and great group of people. And it's, you know, I think we can make some noise here.
I hope you can make some noise. And of course, that would be in the playoffs. Speaking of which, the best seats, the biggest games, it's all yours with the 2026-27 Blue Jackets ticket plan. You can choose the matchups that you want to see. The plans start at 11 games. You can save up to 40%. But here's the big thing. Receive guaranteed access to 2026 playoff tickets and flexible payment options. Find out more by going to BlueJackets.com/ticket plans. More with Blue Jackets forward Danton Heinen as the Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank continues on 97.1 The Fan.
No hot takes, no dancing, plenty of stupid. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Men, we
are the keepers of the wild. America's original and most invested conservationists. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving wildlife and the natural landscapes that define our nation. From rugged alpine ridgelines to peaceful tall grass prairies, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. Our funding has led to cleaner water, fresher air, and improved wildlife habitat. From abundant fish and waterfowl populations to robust deer and elk herds, nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters, stewards of the American outdoors.
America's hunters and target shooters, along with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, have invested more than $46 billion to help state fish and wildlife agencies manage and protect wildlife and wild lands across America. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
I thought mixing bleach with my floor cleaner would take the stain out.
When my youngest ate the dog's medicine, that was a new one.
I was trying to protect my garden, but I accidentally sprayed myself with pesticide.
So I called 1-800-222-1222. The poison helpline.
A poison expert helped me figure out what to do next.
I was connected to someone who spoke Spanish.
They answered my questions.
It was free.
It was confidential.
It was real help in real time.
Keep the poison experts in your pocket. 1-800-222-1222.
The Jackets hit the road for a battle with the Hurricanes. Live fan coverage starts Thursday night at 6:30.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating and Cooling.
Proud to be your flagship home of the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Fan. All Blue Jackets, all the time. This is the Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Welcome back to the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. I'm Bob McElligott. I am joined tonight by Blue Jackets forward Danton Heinen.
How different is it for you? Like, you came in, you knew a couple of guys, right? Charlie Coy, who you had played with before, and you know the Vancouver guys that are from that area.
Yeah.
You know that. But, I mean, now, here we are a couple of months into this thing, and now you're just part of the fabric of it. And you just talked about, and I love, whenever guys say, we have a great group, I love the fact that I get to see your facial reaction because everybody's the same. When they talk about it, it is genuine.
Yeah.
So what do you think of this group?
I mean, it's unbelievable. I've been on a lot of different teams and a lot of different groups, and for me, this was the easiest group to walk into. Just the way everybody made you feel. I mean, I think obviously I knew some guys and stuff like that, but guys that didn't know. So, and just everybody, I think, you know, good people first, and that's huge. You know, everybody wants the best for the next guy, and I think that's, you know, that's what makes a good team. And so that's why I think, you know, we've you know, had success down the stretch, is, you know, coming together as a group. And off the ice, but on the ice, yeah.
Is that why you make it look easy to play with anybody, just because of those relationships? And I mean, yeah, the roles are different, but the guys are the same. They're still the same guys that you're going to dinner with and you're still hanging out with. So, hey, if we play on the same line today, great.
Yeah, exactly. You know, anytime the lines change or whatever, it's like you're going up to your buddy and saying, like, all right, and we got to play together tonight, right? So it's a real thing. You know, if everybody likes everybody, then everybody should enjoy playing with everybody, right?
What about playing with Charlie on that line? Because let's be honest about it. With Matthew Olivier on that line, those three have been consistent, with Charlie and Cole Sillinger. I mean, that has been a go-to line for you guys for a long, long time. And now Matthew is missing from that line, and you are getting the opportunity to go in there. What is that responsibility like for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously you watch those guys day in, day out, and how well they work together. And So I think, yeah, it's obviously you can't fill his exact shoes. He's, I mean, his toughness is everything he brings. But I'm just going to try to, you know, if I continue to get that opportunity, just play my game and just work, because I think those guys, what you see every night is they work, and that's how they get their opportunities, and that's how they, you know, create stuff. So I want to be able to, you know, work on that line and just you know, try to bring whatever I can.
All right, we talked about the team and how close-knit it is, but now you've had a couple of months to be in Columbus and actually get the lay of the land, not just coming in as a visiting guy and maybe you spend a night or two nights or whatever, and you, which is great here, right? Because the restaurants are right by the hotel.
Yeah.
So it's not like one of those stops along the road where you have to say, what am I going to do tonight?
Yeah.
But what's it like now to live here for you?
Yeah, it's been great. You know, the city's – it kind of feels like a smaller city to me. I don't know if just maybe where the areas I've been in, but everybody's been great. It seems like it's a simple city, not too much traffic, stuff like that. So I've really enjoyed it. So it's been good.
You can get anywhere in 20 minutes.
Exactly. That's what they say. Right?
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, seriously.
Not that way in some of the other places you played.
No, yeah.
Look, I'm from Pittsburgh. I know what that's like.
Yeah,
the tunnels alone is 20 minutes.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
And there's not even any traffic on the other side, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I know. You just, yeah, bottleneck. No, it's been, yeah, like, it's great. It's definitely an easy city.
What things have you found to do when you're not playing? In the few instances you have a day without a game, because I know, especially – probably a good thing that March is over, because that was ridiculous. Like, it's almost a baseball schedule, right?
Yeah.
Almost every single day. But have you found any places where you can unwind on days where you don't have to play?
Yeah. I mean, I keep it pretty simple. Just, you know, try to get, if it's, you know, the weather's getting a little nicer. Yeah. So trying to get outside and go for walks and get a lay of the land and like a few good restaurants. And, so yeah, I keep it pretty low key, but, yeah, we haven't had a whole lot of time off. When you do, you try to just, you know, keep it pretty chill and just relax.
Rest.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Rest. You know, it's funny you mentioned about the weather getting nicer, and I was thinking that coming to the game yesterday against the Hurricanes, I was like, you know what, no coat. This is playoff hockey kind of weather, right?
Yeah.
As a hockey player, don't you get excited when you're in it and you want to make it, you want to get there because you want to come to the rink when it's nice outside?
100%. 100%. I had that thought the other day too. You know, you're driving the rink and you see people out, and you know, when the weather's nice, everybody's out, everybody's happier, everybody's, you know, getting, I don't know whether it's tailgate or whatever, getting ready for the games, and that's good memories. That's the memories I have of playoffs. Is like, you know, everybody's out and you're driving the rink and you can feel the energy and you can feel the excitement, and that's just something we really want to experience. Yeah.
Yeah, when it's 50 degrees and people have the shorts on, that's how much they've been waiting, right?
Yeah.
I did the American Hockey League in Syracuse. It got to 30, and it was good enough for them to put shorts on.
Yeah, yeah.
That was sunny and 30, because it wasn't going to get much better than that. You know, as in my profession and as fans as well, everybody looks at standings and they go, well, you know, if the playoffs were to start today, they would play this team. As players, are you just concentrating on getting in? Or are there any, I'll just ask you personally, are there any matchups that you're like, it wouldn't be bad to play these guys?
I mean, no, I think it's so hard to look at all that and just how tight it is and see all that. There's no reason to be like, to do that. I think, you know, the goal is just get in, and then you look at the next day and trying to win the next game. And, you know, it sounds cliche, but that's it. Once you get in, any team can win. So that's, I don't think you look at matchups and any of that.
Yeah. I made a mistake the other day over the weekend, one of those afternoon games, I think it was Saturday, lost to the Sharks and then went home and the Flyers were playing, the Red Wings. And like a dummy, I watched the end of that. And I really thought Detroit was going to tie the game late with the goaltender pulled. And I was like, I just got over this frustration. And I put myself back in this thing. Do you watch games when you leave here, when you leave the building and go home, like after an afternoon game, do you watch anything else?
Yeah, like the other day I tuned in a little bit, just here and there, whether, you know, just keep an eye on scores or, you know, different big games around the league. I'll definitely tune in and just not sit down and pull my hair out or anything like that. But
that's where I made the mistake.
Yeah, but definitely keep an eye on it. And like that's some stuff you can't control, but you know, it's I don't know. Just keeps you engaged, I guess.
See, Dan, that's the whole thing. I can't control anything. Yeah. I just sit upstairs and watch you guys, and it's you know, it's that whole you can't do anything about it except watch. But it's fun pulling for you guys. I mean, really, and I really the reason I'll just be honest with you. My frustration is I know how good you are as a group. I know how hard everybody's trying in there, mm-hmm. and I just really want you guys to get it because I feel, and I want to ask you if you feel this way, if you can just get in. Do you feel like, especially in this Eastern Conference, any of the eight have a chance to make some noise?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's a crapshoot, and that's the thing, right? Every night there's so many big games that, you know, that are this tight race. Every game that are big, and the other guys on the other team are trying too, right? And they mm-hmm. and so that's why you play the games is because it's every night. You never know, and you never know what's going to happen. There's teams that are out of it that are playing for other stuff and that are playing well too. So it's every night is tough, and it's tough out there. But yeah, once playoffs start, and I think, like you said, especially the East, it's a crapshoot, and so that's our goal, is just to, you know, game by game and control what we can to get in.
Do you like home and home series? They're almost a lost art in today's NHL.
Yeah, I
used to play in Pittsburgh. You guys used to get them against the Flyers once in a while, right?
Yeah, every once in a while, yeah. I think. Yeah, I don't mind them. I think, you know, it's maybe easy for the coaches. They can go over the video right away and see what works, see what didn't. And I don't mind them.
Last thing I got for you. How much have you been watching college hockey, especially Denver?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been able to watch a bunch, but yeah, I've been following, and I saw they made the Frozen Four there, so that's awesome to see, and seems like it'll be a good show there.
Yeah, proud alum, right?
Yep, for sure. Yeah.
Did you enjoy your time in college?
Oh yeah, I loved it. I loved Denver. Nothing but good things to say about that. That place, it was, you know, gave me a great opportunity, and I met a lot of friends there that'll be friends for life. So I loved my time there.
There's something to say about the college experience, right? And yeah. I think more players are finding that out. I know, you know, it used to be if you didn't play junior hockey, if you played college hockey, you kind of got looked down upon. Mm-hmm. But now college hockey is a thing. I mean, Porter Martone just signed with the Flyers. One of the things he talked about was with the schedule, he was able to work out. He was able to put on muscle during the season, mm-hmm. which simply doesn't happen if you're playing junior, and it doesn't happen when you're playing in the NHL mm-hmm. either, right?
Yeah, no, 100%. That for me, that was kind of it. For me, it was the same thing. You know, I was a late bloomer, and you know, from being from Canada, you think junior's the way to go. It's kind of like the mini NHL. You want to try to make it. You know, it was the WHL for me, but. When that doesn't come along, you got to, you know, kind of pivot. And I think nowadays it's more Canadians and, you know, they're committed early and younger and all that. But when I was there, I didn't really know much about it until I was like 18 years old. And then I got that opportunity. But it was it was the perfect path for me. And I think I went in there and, you know, they put 20 pounds on me in a year and a half. And it helped my, you know, development a lot.
You were ahead of the curve.
Yeah, I don't know about that. No,
there was a plan for you. Yeah. You just didn't know it, right?
Now
all these Canadian guys are saying, "Let me go to college for a year or two.
I want
to go to college."
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, the school isn't fun, but the college is fun. You know, like
it's well put.
Yeah,
Dan, thank you so much for sitting down with me. I appreciate it. And hey. best of luck here tomorrow night against the Hurricanes. Hopefully you guys can get these 2 points and get yourselves back on track.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
That is Danton Heinen, Blue Jackets forward. Stay tuned. Jody Shelley will return, and we'll wrap up this week's edition of The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank on 97.1 The Fan.
If you consider yourself a Buckeye fan, you've come to the right place. This is your heritage sports talker and home of Ohio State Athletics, The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Thinking about buying
support? The nonprofits VetTix and FirstTix have given away tens of millions of tickets and counting to vets currently serving military, the immediate family of troops killed in action, and our brave current and former first responders. These tickets are a meaningful way to say thank you to America's heroes. And now, we want you to be part of the mission. Got extra tickets to concerts, games, or special events? Or want to see if you qualify? We want you to go to vettix.org and firsttix.org today. Give something to those who gave.
Let's talk.
All your favorite fan shows are on YouTube. Along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth. Experience the splendor of Bose sitting in his closet, Timmy Hall's gouty gold chains, and Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90-degree weather. It's all there. Head to YouTube and subscribe today. Can't get enough Blue Jackets conversation? Good news. It's Hockey O'Clock. It's The Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan, The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
If you're interested in a Blue Jackets ticket plan and if you want to pick your seat in person, let me tell you something. 1 week from today, the Blue Jackets are hosting an open house, and you can come right to Nationwide Arena. You can pick your seat, and you can sign your deal to make sure that you see Blue Jackets hockey in the 2026-27 season. When you lock in that ticket plan, too, you are guaranteed access to playoff tickets this year. Find out more about all of that by going to bluejackets.com/open house. Bob McElligott and Jody Shelley back here to wrap up this week's edition of The Inside Edge. In the first segment, we talked about the playoff picture. You said you can catch Pittsburgh. You can bump out the New York Islanders. Maybe you play Buffalo. Maybe you play Carolina. You've got Ottawa that's still now. They're on the outside looking in once again. Detroit, all these teams. Mm-hmm. And even Philly. Philly's back in it. I hate to say it. I didn't think they were going to get back in it, but lo and behold, here they are. So it is, what a race this is going to be over the last week and a half, 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, isn't it starting to remind you of last year? Remember last year for that last spot, it was a crawl and you'd look and you'd lose and everyone else would lose. And finally, Montreal got that win and a couple wins in a row. And the Blue Jackets ended up, the Carolina Hurricanes actually ended up in Montreal and played nobody and lost that game and they got in and with the win. So I think the lesson is learn there, and there was a slide. Remember, it was a 6-game slide last year that was the biggest reflection point of why they didn't get into the playoffs. So I think they've learned from that this year. I think that there's play. I think Zach Werenski's got more here. I think there's more in games like this one, tomorrow night against the Carolina Hurricanes again. I'd love to see him grab Aho and just beat him up. You know what I mean?
I thought it might happen last night.
When Zach does, he's done it a couple times. It brings something else. Listen, Igor Shesterkin, the goaltender, fought last night. He fought Markstrom, the biggest goalie in the league, and beat him up at Madison Square Garden. And just to see the excitement and the, not just the fanfare, but his teammates, like, it does something for you, you know. And the other night when Boston was in town, I swear, between the benches, I saw Fantilli go up to Jared Bull in the TV timeout just before Gudbranson fought. And I thought he asked him a few things about maybe getting into a fight, maybe a couple tips. I wasn't sure exactly, but there was a conversation there. And I like that element. I think that is a good, especially a team that you might see in the playoffs, you know, in the first round. And this is a game you want to win, of course, but if it gets out of hand either way, and even if it doesn't, for a guy like Zach Werenski, I would love to see him go out there and just take it to Aho.
Maybe if he does it early, you can take your 5 minutes without him in the game early on, not at the end of
it. Well, here's the other thing with Zach. I think he might, like, if Severson's out, that's a big one. But I would dial him back a little bit with minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they did win games without him. There is other guys that can play in some situation. And I know with Severson out, it's harder. But is there too much on Zach at some points in this? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd find ways to hide him because he's out there every other shift. It's just, maybe I'm overthinking strategy a little bit too much. And he's such a reliable piece out there. And we always see him on the ice. And, you know,
Now Makar is injured for probably the end of the regular season. So I bet you he's, you know, there might be something else to chase here for Zach Werenski, which is good. But yeah, I would take 5 minutes with him. No question. That would pay off in spades. But if he went and took, got into a good fight. And I just think against this team, and you're going to see him maybe in the first round, I think you take a chunk out of him tomorrow night.
You brought up those fights against Boston, and I want to ask you about that because you're an expert in this field.
I was.
You were. You understand the mentality of it. From that, the mentality aspect, you're still an expert.
Yeah.
Okay, so Tanner Jeannot goes with Eric and Brant.
Yeah.
All right. And that's something that started before the whistle. They finished it after. Fine. Then Matthew Olivier and Mark Castellick go. Now, I'm not looking at this with hindsight being 2020 because now Olivier's out and not going to play the rest of the regular season, but I'm sure that along the line somewhere you played for some coach that said, if you're up 2-0, do not fight. Do not create energy for the other team. So what is your take on that situation? And not just the one fight. Okay. The one I get, but then the second one that they start, was it one too many?
No. Yeah. That was the best period of the season.
It was.
And if you were there, you know what I'm talking about. It was energetic. It was scoring. It was domination. I don't think that either one of those fights had an impact. Well, I guess it did. Emotionally for the Bruins, they were flat. I don't remember. I think I did have a coach that told me up 2-0 not to fight. I don't remember being told when or when not to fight. I would take care of that myself. You know what I mean? Yeah. I took pride in understanding the temperature of the game, the building, the fans, and what he was really trying to do, and if it was worth it. But if you're going off the energy after one fight just happened, and you're a fighter, a guy who enjoys doing it, like Olivier, you can't wait. You're looking for you're hoping someone, you want to get involved in the action. That building is at its peak, and you're like, oh yeah, let's do this one. Let's try, let's take this up a notch. So, but there are situations when you don't do that. You don't let them, you know, but that's when someone's chasing you around and you have full control of the game and you're on a shift and you're like, this guy's he's not even involved in the shift because he's too involved in trying to get a fight. And then maybe he takes a penalty and then you know, maybe later you fight him. I would usually tell him, yeah, we'll do it later. You know, but most of the time, Bob, I would give him the fight. Because I would be in that situation a week later and I'd be like, remember, you owe me one.
Right.
Right.
You got to cash your chip.
Yeah.
I'll give you
this one.
You have to have the chip to cash it later on.
You're right.
Good point. I just had something I was going to ask you and then it slipped away just as quickly there. But, you know, you talked about this race and it's going to be, it already is a fantastic race.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
strength of schedule. I knew I'd get myself.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of talk about how tough the Blue Jackets schedule is and other teams don't have as quote unquote tough of a schedule. But you alluded to this a little bit earlier and the Blue Jackets have been in this position. You're playing teams that are out of it. Sometimes they're more dangerous than the teams that are in it.
Way more. Way more. And it hurts more to lose those games. Rangers are rolling right now. Maple Leafs are winning games. Calgary Flames, they're on a 6-game point streak before they got spanked by the Colorado Avalanche. They're dangerous. They're having an impact on the playoffs, and their attitude is to put a hitch in your plans for the postseason. And that's what those teams are doing. So, no, I would listen. Winnipeg's coming in here on the weekend to Columbus. They're back in the playoff picture. They have the best goalie in the world. They're the Western Conference team. They play heavy. They're big. They're experienced. That's a team. I want to play those teams. There's no easy nights in the NHL, mentally or physically. And I think the Blue Jackets, they're going to have to earn it to get in now. There's going to be no breathing room. They're going to have to fight to the end, but they got to win 4 of 7. I think they got to win 4 of 7. That's what they have to do here. And okay. And if you go through the schedule, if you want to try to pick out which ones are going to win, good luck, because they could have won that game last night at home when they got that first goal from Marchenko. It was a greasy goal. It wasn't a patent shot, which he's been looking for the last 8 games before he couldn't get a goal. It was right around the net, you know, and he's had some great chances. He's ready to break out into a little bit of a run, and that's good. They got to get the second line going. The Coyle line has to get back going. I know Olivier's gone now, but they were still fighting it a little bit for a stretch in this. Everyone's had a tough kind of stretch, you know? And that's how this team is. This team has to play like a unit. When they were winning, they were a unit. Every line just played the same way. And I think when you have that in this type of situation, you can always go back to that, right? This, like, at least you know how you're going to play. So when you're resetting the playoffs from game one to game two, you see what you did wrong. You make adjustments in some of the matchups that are head to head, but you always have your baseline of how you play as a team to go to. So, and I know there's going to probably be a couple more new guys in tomorrow, but that shouldn't matter.
Yeah, new guys, Luka Delbel-Belouz gets called up from Cleveland. I was a little bit surprised they didn't work him in there. We talked about the second line. Is he an answer to that? I don't know. He said two straight years.
I give him a shot there.
Yeah, he scored over 20 goals
for the second straight year. And I put Aston Reese in on the fourth line.
Yeah, which, again, he's been there. He knows
he's heavy. He knows his role. He knows he's out there looking for a goal. He's going to get a hit and be hard to play against. And maybe he goes on the third line, actually. Maybe he goes in that spot with Coyle and Sillinger.
Yeah, a couple of auditions
there. I wouldn't mind that.
I was just talking with Dan Heinen about that, about being on that line, what he's trying to do. Miles Wood had an opportunity when Olivier left the game against Boston, so they're searching right now.
He almost got hurt in warm-up.
Yes.
Yeah. That guy can't catch a break. I mean, and and just to see him after, we're giggling because he laughs at it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like he just can't believe it, so... I'm glad you see made it through warm up to get that game in.
One thing it never changes. He skates 100 miles an hour. He's all over the place, but straight to the net, right?
Oh, he's so fun to watch.
Yeah, he is. He is a lot of fun. Well, Jody, we'll see if the Blue Jackets can split this series. If they can split this home and home, they'll split the season series. But more importantly, they need these points.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the bottom line. But the mentality of a playoff series, I think it hits right now with a home and home with this Carolina Hurricanes team.
All right, Jody. Thank you very much. All right, that is Jody Shelley. Thanks to him for being here tonight. Thanks to Dan Heinen for sitting down and chatting as well. And, of course, thanks to you for being here. Hope you're there tomorrow night. Blue Jackets and the Hurricanes. Game gets underway at 7 o'clock. Pregame coverage with Jody on FanDuel will begin at 6:30. And, of course, right here on 97.1 The Fan, we'll have pregame coverage on the Blue Jackets Radio Network starting at 6:30 as well. Blue Jackets and the Hurricanes wrapping it up tomorrow night. That'll do it for the Inside Edge. I'm Bob McElligott. Thanks for listening to 97.1 The Fan.
Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by KDHVAC, doing whatever it takes to keep your home comfortable. The Fan.
What does it mean to give 100%? It means giving everything you've got, every single day. That's why the V Foundation gives 100% of every dollar donated directly to cancer research. So no matter what you give, we give 100% for life-saving research victories, 100% to making new discoveries that lead to innovative treatments, 100% to groundbreaking cancer research that could one day save someone you love. We know cancer research is working. Over the last 30 years, an estimated 4.5 million lives have been saved thanks to game-changing research breakthroughs. But there is more work to do. That's why the V Foundation gives 100% of every dollar donated directly to cancer research. We will always give 100% to accelerate victory over cancer.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Donate today at V.org.
Wounded Warrior Project helps post-9/11 veterans and their families realize what's possible. With support and resources that bring warriors together and empower them to become stronger, both inside and out.
It's possible to begin healing.
To get the help you need.
To find peace.
And as each warrior's needs evolve, so do we. Because these last 20 years are just the beginning. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
What would it take for my child to only miss half a day of school for treatment?
What would it take to fund a cure for childhood cancer?
It would take all of us to come together to support the research. Join us. Go to childrenscancer.org.